this week, my kids wrapped up their school for break. They're now getting a chance to have a well-deserved rest after a long and tricky year so far. It definitely has been a year that has involved a lot of work and has not always been easy, but I've really appreciated the chance to have them at home for at least some of the time and being able to work with them because I'm getting to see some things as we work together, as I try to support them, that I don't know if I would always get a chance to. I don't know if any of you have felt this way as parents also, but as they've grown up and spend the time off at school away from us, and when they come home then, and you sort of have that conversation of, so how was school today? What types of things happened? And they just kind of get, fine, you know, stuff. That you're realizing that they're coming more and more into themselves. They're having more and more parts of their life that you don't get to see as intimately. My brothers and sisters-in-law are having babies right now, so we're getting pictures all the time of, like, here's the stage, they're sitting up, they're pulling themselves up and standing, all of these exciting things that we feel we often get a little bit more frequent connection and seeing all those things happen. And as the kids get older and older, it feels a little bit more like you don't get to see as closely and hold as dearly some of those things that they are having as important experiences. So it's been nice, actually, in some ways for me to be able to share that with them during parts of this year. I'm really thankful for some of the things that I've been able to see and learn more deeply in who they are as people, and especially those things that I can resonate with my kids a little bit about. Aislinn, for instance, has a really amazing memory for detail. When she reads a book and you're asking her about what happened in that book, she can rattle off whole sections. It sounds like almost word for word, but definitely really, really detailed in thinking about what happened and all of the ins and outs of interactions between characters. And I have often appreciated having a memory that catches things pretty well also. And so getting to have those conversations with her and see that part of her come out has been really neat. For Cohen, he really loves figuring out a puzzle. And so whether that is things with his actual homework, where he not only wants to get the answer, but really likes to see what's the system going on of this math problem or this thing that we're learning that has to do with science, he's very analytical and really likes to try to dig in there. And that's something I can relate to a lot, too. And he does this also even with some of the games that he plays. He loves games on the phone or on different consoles that are sort of puzzle-oriented, and you have to really figure something out. And he also even is starting to get into magic tricks. And so there's all these things that we're getting to see this personality of his come out. But at the same time, I've also gotten chances that I'm really thankful for, but can sometimes be a little bit more complicated, where I'm seeing those personality traits of my kids that aren't necessarily something I connect with really easily or that I feel like I can support as easily because I don't understand it quite as well, but I definitely do my best. For instance, Aislinn is way more artistic and creative and also willful about that than I can be sometimes. And it's amazing to see the types of things that she comes up with when she wants to draw or doing some things that are sort of like scrapbooking, other types of things she does on the iPad and iPhone apps that are very design-oriented. Really, really amazing. She gets a really clear vision in her head to make sure that she lays that out, and she works really hard to get it all the way there. But I've also found that sometimes with homework, that is makes things a little bit harder. And so I try to support her with that and say, hey, it might be that the way that your brain works about this particular assignment is not matching up with the questions that are being asked or the way that your teachers are expecting you to learn the content. And that can be really difficult for her. So I try to support her and say, how do we make it so we understand how to get the way your brain thinks about something to match up with what it is that an assignment is asking. And so it hasn't always been easy, but I've hoped that that's some way that I can support who she is, but also give some things from who I am that makes things a little bit easier for her. And Cohen gets really, really immersed in things that are his interests. He'll even do a thing where if he gets excited about a particular assignment or a learning game that his teacher asked him to spend a certain amount of time in, and he'll end up spending 2, 3, 4 times more time than he was supposed to in that particular game or assignment because he finds it so interesting. And he can get really, really deep into other activities of his that he likes and can do things on his own, can try to draw people into it as well. And it's really neat to see how that happens. But at the same time, sometimes with his homework in particular, what ends up happening is he wants to spend a lot of time on one thing, more than he even needs to, but then something else that's not as interesting, he doesn't want to spend any time at all on. And so then he would leave things undone. So I try to help him have a little bit of that balance and find ways to just finish something up, even if it's not your favorite, because we don't want to have something that gets undone at all just because it didn't capture our attention the same way as other things. It's a really interesting thing to go through as a parent, to have those times when you're trying to balance out that sense of really appreciating who your kids are, not only the things that you relate to, but also the amazing things that are coming out of them that are just them. But not only supporting it and trying to find outlets that those can be expressed, but also wanting parts of who I am, because of how I love them, to be a resource for them, to support them, to maybe bring some things out that will be important for their development, but that are not as easy for them right now. And so maybe I can help draw that out and develop it as well. I love them so much. And so that feeling makes me not only want to say that or just feel it, but also for it to have some sort of real world types of applications and ways that it has meaningful impact as I work with them, as I support them, and as I see them go off into things that they won't be directly connected with me on. I think that's a huge part of the picture of love that we get, especially with Zechariah in our Bible verse this morning. If you remember, we left him back on the first week of Advent when we spoke about hope. And it had just been announced to him that he was going to be a father, even though he and his wife, Elizabeth, were really old, but that God was going to come and help them have a baby, have a family for the first time, and that baby would turn out to be John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, and the one that would prepare the way for Jesus in many ways. He had been mute, though, when he was surprised at how that would happen. And we talked about how this seemed to be a way that God was going to prepare him, this essentially chance to step back, not have a lot to say, maybe have to do a little bit more listening, and that this would, in fact, maybe not just be a punishment, but help him learn a deep and even often difficult hope that's full of memory of God's faithfulness, full of empathy with those around him, and full of purpose for what God wants to do in the world. And now that baby has arrived. And that's where we see Zechariah finding his voice and prophesying what Brent read today. And he uses his voice, these first words, to proclaim exactly this type of love. It starts, if you remember, with love and thankfulness to God for moving and bringing change into the world. But then that love pours into his instant, profound connection with his infant son and all that he hopes that John will become, knowing that God said he will have a special role in preparing the way for the Messiah, becoming John the Baptist ultimately. So there's all these things that he hopes to form in John, to pass on to him, to make sure that he understands for this big life that lies ahead of him. I'll remind you again, we see in verses 76 through 80 what some of these things are. He says, "And you, my child," turning that attention to his beloved son. "You will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord and prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins." And then it says how things turn out as Zechariah and Elizabeth, I'm sure, to support John into the rest of his life. It says the child grew and became strong in spirit, and then lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel. So we know it was not an easy life, but there was an important call. And Zechariah wanted to be able to support John, even into those things that might be struggles, and have that connection with God and connection with God's purposes. I imagine that this is something most of us can relate to in some way. We've received love from people who have mentored us and helped us develop not only things that we can connect with others, but things that are deeply within ourselves and been shaped into the people that we are today. And we're so thankful for that love. And I'm sure many of us have tried to pass on love to those that are coming behind us to help them develop into wonderful people that can feel strong and supported in who they are and able to shape the world around them with God's help as well. And these could be parent and child relationships, but there are lots of other types of relationships that have that loving connection, that sense of mentorship, and that sense of passing things on so that people know that they're cared for and that they have big things ahead of them. And this, even I think we can remember, is a big part of how God loves us, that God sees us as children as well, and that God does want to help us develop and live into our own purpose because of what God sees in us, from the way that God intimately loves us, and that we'll then join in helping to transform the world. And this is especially what we see in our other verses from Isaiah 61 this morning. You know, we've been getting a lot of these types of verses and themes, especially the last couple weeks when we've had the songs of Zechariah today and of Mary last week. And we've had two passages from Isaiah that are describing in particular what is it that comes and happens in the world when God shows up, when the light of God breaks into the darkness. Not only is there intimate personal connection, but what is happening in society? What is happening in culture? What is happening to people that are often forgotten? These are really beautiful passages that give us the scope and scale of what the arrival of Jesus into the world and into our lives means. It's a really big impact. It's an amazing vision. Not only, again, are we rooted in that sense of personal connection with the God of the universe, but we also see salvation being proclaimed that has big social impacts. And that offers a special hope to those particularly who are generally forgotten, left out, and mistreated in life and in the world, but not from the God who shows up. I find this message of Isaiah 61 especially important for us to be rooted in as we go into the Christmas season and think about the beginnings of God's arrival in our lives. Jesus' birth is a wonderful beginning in particular to celebrate. But we should remember that actually this Isaiah 61 passage is a big part of beginnings for Jesus as well. When he was an adult, after Jesus had been baptized and tempted, it was reading these very verses that Jesus used to start off his ministry. He went into the synagogue and read Isaiah 61 and then proclaimed, "Today this has been fulfilled in your hearing." These very values, saying, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from the darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion." For Jesus, this was the beginning of what it meant. When God shows up, these are the things that are going to happen. This is what life with me is going to be about. I'm going to be doing those things for all of the people experiencing that darkness and suffering and struggle. And when you join with me, that's what you get to be a part of. Not only will you experience that for yourself, but you'll get to see that multiplied and magnified in the world around us and in the lives of others that we touch. And I'll admit, it might feel a little bit strange or different for us to hear that that would be so foundational to the beginning of what it is when we connect with God and when God shows up in our lives. Perhaps it's passages like John 3:16 that we've often heard lifted up as the starting point of the gospel of God's love. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." That is a wonderful picture of what it means to have God come into the world and come into our lives as well. And just as important. But I hope that we can notice how both of these things in fact, don't have to be in competition with each other, but complement each other. And when we hold them together, verses like John 3:16 and verses like Isaiah 61, that we see that full picture of what God's love means coming into our lives. In our relationships, it's natural for us to focus specifically on the connection between ourselves and the direct other person in that relationship. It might be that excitement of spark in a romantic connection. It might be that encouragement of affinity and familiarity that we have when we make a friend. And it's even that powerful and mysterious sense of bond and hope that we have when we first hold a baby in our arms. And that's a lot like what we see promised in our connection with God in a verse like John 3:16. The way that God's love for us draws us personally and strongly to direct connection with God that's so important. But we also know in all of those different types of relationships that they ultimately find their true fulfillment and their best health and wholeness when that starting connection spills over from just the two people in that relationship and starts to affect more areas of our life, more relationships that we have with others, more experiences that we can have in the world. This is what it's like to build a full life, even the mundane parts of it, with that person that you first had that romantic spark with. This is what it's like to have friendships start to gather more community around us and carry us through, supporting us through different stages of life that we maybe could not have even anticipated when we first made a connection with a friend. And it's also what it's like to see a baby grow up and to find them doing more and more things outside of your arms, maybe even outside of your touch and view that you become so proud of. This is also what God wants and expects to come from the love that God has given to us, to pour out more and more into new areas of life, to connect with more people, to see impact on more experiences, because God has given us so much. We receive it and it just keeps spilling and pouring and multiplying more and more and more. And it's verses like Isaiah 61 that give us that inspiring picture and promise of what life will look like when that love begins to spill out from our direct connection with God and into all of the other parts of life that God draws us into. All of that spillover, all of that ripple effect, all of that continued multiplying. It's a beautiful picture. But I think that we also have to admit that one of the hard things about seeking this type of expansion and expression of love, these ripple effects in our relationships, is that it does open us up into the unknown. As the hopes and goal of what our love is and what we've been given by God goes further and further away from us, further and further away from our most immediate relationships and connections, things do become more uncertain. We have less control. We have less ways to anticipate. And it may be that we even don't feel like we see as much direct benefit happening to ourselves because things are continuing to go out in circles from us. If we have the love that God gives us to motivate us and try to live this picture of transformative life for ourselves and for everyone around us, especially the most vulnerable, like what we see in Isaiah, we have to realize that we will not ultimately know all of the challenges that we will face as God walks us through different circumstances of life. Some of them may feel overwhelming, challenging, even painful, because we're bringing transformation and life and light into areas that are dark and have pain and struggle in them. We know that this is true for John and for Jesus, and we've talked about in previous weeks how these parents could not have fully known all of the things that their children were going to face. The persecution, the resistance, the pain, and even ultimately the death. But they still had that hope. They were willing to say, I want to see what God is going to do. I believe and trust in the power and the hope of it. even though I may not know exactly what it is that I'm signing myself up for with all of this. And it's these passages that show us how we really need, ultimately, if we're going to face that uncertainty, to stay rooted in love. And when we do so, we can trust in all of the good effects that God will ultimately bring to bear. It's true that when we face our most overwhelming and discouraging problems, it's easy for us so badly to want the right solutions. But things can easily turn and not be exactly what we would expect, especially when we end up getting stuck in the minutiae of what's all the finer points of what we have to do. Can I have things work out my way so that I feel most comfortable? If we fixate on who will get control or credit, it's harder and harder to stay closely anchored to what God is envisioning for us, like what we see in Isaiah 61. I think we can probably picture a lot of the ways this happens in our lives right now, even as we are trying to solve problems. So we're in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic and all of the impacts it's having on people's physical health, mental health, economic stability. People are trying to solve problems, but we also see how things are still getting stuck and there's still great risk and difficulty that people are facing, in part because it's easy for us to get fixated on that control, on that credit, on things having to go a certain way that's most comfortable for just one or two people. But God's example of love and that picture of what life can look like when God shows up encourages us to stay rooted in love first. When we have that motivation, when we have that care and consideration for others, especially when we are mindful of those that are likely to be getting the least attention, to be getting the less recognition, to be getting the least appreciation. Having love that God gives as that guiding light will get us to a better and more whole and more just outcome, even in our biggest and most overwhelming problems. So I think that is something that we can stay mindful of, especially in a moment like this, where we know that is needed for ourselves and for many people around us. How can we hold on to that vision of love that God gives, both for ourselves and how we might encourage it in others, especially those who have influence over some of those big problems? Love and that connection that we have with God is what helps us accept those unknowns. Some of those to feel like I could just steer my kids' lives exactly the way that I would picture, make sure that their personalities turn out in a way that I feel secure and happy about and that I think could protect them from the most difficulty and have them have the most comfort. And then that way, too, maybe they'd be super focused on what an awesome dad that I was, and I'd get lots of pats on the back and how great it is, and they'd want to be with me forever. But I know when I am most rooted in my love for them, that I know that it's best, and I get truly excited about getting to see them become their own people, whether that's a whole lot like me or not. And then even more so, I'm able to trust that God will walk with them, and we can trust that God walks with those people that we love in our lives, so that they can become everything that they need to be, not only for us, but for themselves and for God and for the rest of the world. Hopefully then, whatever love that we have between us, whatever ways that we have been able to support each other, that will find its fullest expression ultimately in the impact that they have on other people that they care about and on the great big world that they go into. That we get that spillover, we get that multiplication, we get that ripple effect. And this is the thing that I think we can especially take hope and peace and joy in as a church family during this Advent season. We can have amazing connection and support together, and I know that we do. But we can also say, God, I know that you're going to take that amazing support and connection that we have amongst ourselves and bless it and help it to spill over to build new connections, to have ripple effects, to multiply more and more as we connect with more and more people that God loves and more amazing things that God is doing to bring Christmas and transformation into the world around us, especially for those things that we know that are so hard in the world and need God's breaking in the most. So I hope we can take courage and excitement in that love that we have first from God, then with each other, and then seeing what God will do with it. May we all experience that love in this coming week and coming months and years ahead together.